Bible, please, this morning and turn to the book of Luke, third book in the New Testament, Luke. And it's always an honor for me to be at Anchor Baptist Church. What a place. What a wonderful day to be alive. What a wonderful day to, what a wonderful day to be in church. If the Lord should come today, the trumpet sounds, wouldn't you be glad that you were in church when the Lord comes? Amen. Not laying on the couch at home. Oh, sorry, maybe some folks are laying on the couch watching this morning. That's good. We're glad you're watching. I just put my foot in my mouth, but that's okay. But all I'm saying is it's a good day. It's a good day to be a Christian. It's a good day to know for sure that you're going to heaven. It's a good day to serve the Lord. Of course, your theme for the year, basically in a nutshell, make up your mind and serve God. Amen. Because there's only so much time. I, being an older person, realize that more than ever. There's only so many days left. Understand all that. What a great day to serve the Lord. It's always a privilege for me to be at Anchor Baptist Church. I've known your pastor and his wife and family, frankly, ever since they came to BC, because they were with us for 1 year at our church, and Brother Turner served faithfully there. Also, I'm so glad this morning to have my grandson, Jackson, with me this morning. I joke about it, but it's the truth. He's my bodyguard and my helper. He's a musician, plays a grand piano, classical music. He also does mechanics, so he's a musician and a mechanic. And he does some martial arts, so just back off, okay? I'm so glad. This is the first time he's been to Anchor Baptist Church, and that's exciting for me to have him here. Well, Luke chapter number 12, I'm going to move quickly this morning. By the way, can I say this? If you're, listen up to this statement, if you're going to believe everything you read, start with the Bible. Yeah. Amen? Yes. And that's what we're starting with this morning. We read things and say, oh my soul, look at that. My dad taught me something, if I can throw it at you this morning. My dad taught me something when I was a teenager. I didn't understand it for a while. I asked him to explain. He said this. He said, careful what you read. He said, paper won't refuse ink. In other words, print anything you want, somebody's going to believe it. So all I'm saying this morning is make the Bible a priority book. Amen. So we want to read this morning in chapter number 12. Chapter number 12 of the book of Luke. And look, please, at verse number 41. Verse number 41. And the Bible says, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable to us, or even to all?" Let me stop and say something right there. That all the Bible is not necessarily to us, for example, Old Testament law, but it's for us. The whole book, from Genesis to Revelation, is for us. By way of testimony, so many things this morning, but Peter's asking, he said, Lord, is this for us or is it for everybody this morning? And the Lord said, look what it says here now, "Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give him their portion of the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing," always doing. Again, choose whom you're going to serve and serve them. Be doing. That's what he's saying here. "And then of a truth," verse number 44, "I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if the servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the messengers, men servants rather, and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with a few stripes." Then this is our text here this morning. Look at this carefully. "For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. Would you repeat that phrase in the middle of the verse with me? Just a few words here. Read it with me as we read together. Ready? For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Amen. Right there. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning now I pray that you would do something special in our midst. Lord, I need your help. I need your thoughts. I need your words. Lord, I need you to open my mind, give me clarity as I speak, but also I pray for clarity for the listener this morning. Lord, I pray that we would leave this place taking something with us that we can apply to our lives today to put it in force and to be worthy servants of the Most High God. Lord, help us to be worthy stewards today, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. So here we have a parable. Peter identified that, a parable, a story that Jesus told. By the way, Jesus told a lot of stories that help us to understand, gives a heavenly meaning to an earthly story. But here he's talking about a steward. Do you know what a steward is? A steward is one who has the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to his care. Everyone in this room is a steward of something, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But so he's saying, he's giving an example here. He said, the Lord here is the owner. The Lord owns everything. It speaks of that in the text. We don't have time to develop it too much this morning, but I just want to bring one thought out of this. So understand, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. We'll talk a bit about that in a minute. So the Lord is the owner. The steward cares for the owner's business. It's like if I gave Colton here a wad of $100 bills. I'm not going to do that, but if I gave him a wad of $100 bills and I said for him to give everyone someone in the room, and all of a sudden he exited the building, he was down to the bingo hall. No, he wasn't a good steward with it. He's supposed to give that one to each person in the room. So I, as the Lord over that $100 stack, I give it to him. He's to distribute it. That's what a good steward is. Pretty simple to understand. He distributes. He's a right-hand man, if you will, in taking care of that. Now, the Heavenly Father is the Lord over the household. It speaks of that in the text we read here. But it says that the one steward forgot. Matter of fact, please look in your Bibles. Look at verse number 45, please. But, and if that servant say in his heart, the Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunk. In other words, just to have a big time, like Colton did with the $100 bill stack, right? Just have a big time. Go out and live it up and have a wonderful time. He's not a good steward right then. But the Lord says, we're to be good stewards. And so you are a steward. He is the Lord. Understand that. So going forward, the Bible says, and we read a while ago, this is so important for us to grasp today. I'm so glad for the young people here. The Bible says this, to whom much is given, it doesn't say much is hoped. Or it doesn't say, well, maybe that'll work out. It says, unto whom much is given, much is required. Basically, that's a commandment right there. So going forward, we must remember, you've received something this morning, and what you've received, you're required to be a good steward of it. So let's move quickly through this. First of all, I make this statement. First of all of us have been given much. Everybody in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, which is probably me, the oldest to the youngest, everybody in this room has been given something. All believers have been giving much as well, may I say. Now you may say, well, you know, I have a place to live, but it's really not much. It doesn't describe what it is here. It says, unto much is given, much is required. If you've got a roof over your head this morning, thank God for it. And you say, well, Brother Arbo, you've not been to my place. No, I haven't. But God promises he will provide for you. You say, well, I got an old beater of a car. You do have something. God's given you something. You do have something, no question about that. You say, well, the clothes that I have right now, I don't really have nice clothes like everybody else. You do. Hey, thank God you got clothes. Amen? Amen? You don't want to come to church in a barrel. All I'm saying is you've been given something. He didn't say what or how much. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. God has given you much. Can I say this morning, if you listen to this statement, If you have health this morning, you've got much. Take care of it. If you've got good health, you know, we have dreams, and we have anticipations, and we have hopes, and we have we have desires and so on. And we could pillow our head at night and think about all the wonderful things we could have in this life. But I'll tell you, I think you mentioned it this morning, praying for someone who has cancer. They have one wish. Everything else doesn't make any difference. They have one wish, and that's that God would touch the body and heal them of their cancer. So understand this morning, when you've been given much, much is required. If you have, how about this? If you have breath this morning, you have much. You say, well, God provides breath for everybody. You ought to thank God for that. Jump up and down. I won't do that because I got a new knee I'm working on this morning. But I understand, if God is, you're breathing God's breath this morning, by the way. You're breathing God's air. God is taking care of you. Be a good steward of it. That's all I'm saying. Young people, you have much. I'm an older person. I'm in my 79th year. I realize I don't have a lot of time left on this earth. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be here. Frankly, at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere. But all I'm saying is, you young people in this room, some of you 15, 20, 25, that's still young in my books and so on, you have much because you have many days, should the Lord tarry his coming, you have many days to live for him. Here we go. Make a decision. Serve the Lord. You have much. Older people, or some of my kind here. I see one back there in the corner with a green tie on. Sorry about that. You raised your hand. Hallelujah. But all I'm saying is, you know what you have? You have much this morning, and you're required, because you've been given much, you're required to use that much and use it in the right manner. You have wisdom. Hey, as I mentioned, I'm in my 79th year. Someone that's, and not belittling anybody here, but someone who's 16 years of age cannot give me marriage advice, how to stay married for 55 years, which I've been married for. It'd be a little bit difficult. You can put your 2 cents worth in. I understand all that. And you give me some biblical instruction. I understand all that. But you learn some things. Laban said about the two guys that worked for him. He said, I've learned by experience. You learn some things by experience, just living life. You know what I've learned? Life is not fair. You know what I've learned? When everything is going wonderful, there's something just over the hill that's not so wonderful. You know what I've learned? When it seems that all is lost, the Bible tells us this morning, it just came to pass. That's what I've learned. So, you're younger, you have lots. You're older, you have lots. I'm not talking about money, not talking about clothing, not talking about your 999 friends on Facebook. I'm not talking about material possessions. You know who has taught you what all that is worth, that is top priority? The world has taught you that. Sure. The possessions, they're important. That money, that's important. That things are important. The world's taught us that. God did not teach us that. The world's taught us that. If I've got the Lord in my heart, I've got everything. Huh. So, understand that all of us have been given much. Can I say that? Much. Not just more, we've been given much. All believers have been given much as well. Understand, you have health, you have life, you have blessings, you have a job, you have a roof over your head, you'll have some food to eat when I'm finished here, you've got clothing and so on. Understand, you have much. So he said, to whom much is given, much is required. Then, oh, you're not going to like this. Colton gave me one of his outlines, okay? No, it's not true. Nothing you have, listen to this, nothing you have is yours except your sins. Nothing. You're breathing God's breath. You're eating, in a while, you'll eat God's food. You're walking on God's green earth. Well, I live out in the country, so it's green out there. It's asphalt gray in here. But all I'm saying, face it. Do you agree with me this morning? Yeah. All of us have been given much. But the truth is, nothing I have is mine. The Lord of the house gave to the steward all that he had. God owns it. My eyesight, as failing as it might be, belongs to God. My hearing belongs to God. The fact that I'm able to walk around this room That belongs to God. God's given me a measure of strength, a measure of ability. You say, well, hey, hold it now. Tomorrow morning, I'll go to work, and I'll put my brain to work, or I'll put my body to work, and I'll work a good day's, I'll put in a good effort for a good paycheck. I got a verse for that. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. God's given you the ability to do whatever you do tomorrow morning. You go to school, you sit in a place of learning, you go to the workplace, you do whatever you do, and God bless you for that. But again, understand where it came from. Understand that God gave to us, you see, he has given us ability, he's given us strength, he's given us knowledge, he's given us wisdom and so on. So take care of your life, take care of your body, it's all his. The eyesight I mentioned, the air that you breathe, it's all God's. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:19, What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? He says in John chapter 5, without me ye can do nothing. So understand that. I mean, that's difficult for us. We don't like that thinking. We don't like that teaching from the Bible that really, in me dwelleth no good thing. I don't like that. I think I'm pretty good. Yeah. I can walk. I can talk. I can feed the dog. You know, whatever. I can do that. But the truth is, without him, what the Bible says, we have nothing. It's all his. Understand that this morning. But we say in this life, again, the world influences us, no question about it. No one would deny that. But I want it my way. I want, this is, okay, we say, this is my life. No, it's not. It's his life. He lives in me. This is my relationship, whatever relationships you have. No, let God put the relationships together and you'll do well. Amen. This is, Mrs. Arbo and I have been married 55 years plus. And I said, well, it's my marriage. No, it's not. Except for the grace of God, who knows where I'd be today? It's him. It's all about him. I have three sons. They're my sons. No, children are a heritage of the Lord. God brought those three sons into our home. I have seven grandchildren. That's of God. I drive a jalopy, an old car. That's of God. I'm thankful for it. I am able to move around. I have somewhat of a mind left. My mother used to tell me, she said, don't give anybody a piece of your mind. It might be the last piece you have. Okay? Just understanding that. And, you know, I have some possessions. But don't forget the principle. What does it say in the text that we read? Look, please, back at verse number 48. Just about finished here. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. So to whom much is given, much is required. So number one thought is, I've been given a lot by God Almighty. You have been given a lot by God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Secondly, everything I have, nothing of that belongs to me except my sins. That's pretty well it right there. I've got my sins. And thanks be to God, you know, he'll take those. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll take my sins away. You sing that song, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. So, but that's all I can lay claim to. So here, the wise man, the wise steward, became a fool. He said, it's party time. I'm going to drink and I'm going to eat and I'm going to beat these people up and so on. I'm going to have a good time because my master left me something. It says it right here in the scripture. But he was a fool doing that. Because, you see, the master hadn't come back yet. He delays his coming. Well, right now, can I say that Jesus is delaying his coming right now? Waiting to come back? So, with what I have given by God, I ought to do something about it. So, understand here this morning, there's some things we really need to do. And we need to get involved in some things. So, I need to accept my responsibility for what God has given me. I need to accept my responsibility for what God has given me. Oh, can I say this? You're here today. You say, I know beyond all shadow of a doubt, I'm going to heaven one day. I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save me. He's in my life. He's in my heart. And I know I'm going to heaven someday. Then he is your master. He has given you much. But is it possible you're here today and you don't know for sure where you're going when you die? You have some doubts about it. The Bible says, for example, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there's none righteous, no, not one. In other words, sin simply means missing the mark. I'm sure you understand this, but it means missing the mark. God had a purpose for you and me. Because of the sin in the Garden of Eden, every one of us have missed the mark. Any of you ever played darts? You have a dartboard. You have a dart. You throw the dart at the dartboard. Whether you miss the bullseye by a hair's breadth, or whether you miss the dartboard and hit the wall, you've missed the mark. It doesn't matter. I guess I could use that analogy for golfing too. For the golf fans here this morning, you got putter and you putt that ball, and sometimes it'll go around the hole and then lay beside it. You missed it. Sometimes you miss it by a yard, or sometimes it goes in the lake. You missed it. Sorry, you missed it. So what that means is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, separation from God, second death, eternal separation from God. But, God butts in, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I've said all that to say this. You are accountable for the words that I quoted from the Bible this morning. You know whether you're going to heaven or not. You know whether you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your decision, and you are accountable for the words that you read in the Word of God. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Once you've heard, you must make the decision. Now, isn't it very interesting? You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. According to the Bible, listen, you don't have to go to heaven, you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here. So you got to make up your mind. You say, well, I'll think about it. That can be risky. Are you a believer? Just asking this morning. We know that we're sinners. Anyone in this room would admit that they've done some wrong things in their life. We've missed the mark. But God made a way of salvation. It says, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, Jesus Christ, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To simply be willing to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, please come into my life and take it over and forgive me my sins and help me to live for you and take me to a place called heaven someday. That's the message this morning. So understand with that in mind to accept your responsibility. And by the way, can I say this? Don't be comparing. We live in, again, the world has taught us to compare. To compare what to what everyone else has. Well, they have this or they have that or they have this going on and they have that going on and so on. The Bible says, you know what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians 10:12. I'm going to give you the verse. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, and listen to this, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Okay, you got that? So, understand this. Let me ask you a question. So we are not wise. So what's the opposite of wise? Fool, a foolish. So I'd be a foolish person if I compare to what someone else has, the ministry someone else has, the duty someone else has, the responsibility someone else has, the things that someone else has. The Bible says I'm a fool. Now we do that. I understand. Everybody in this room has done that. What's taught us that? The Bible has not taught us that. I compare. Brother Yassine, I compare myself with myself. What kind of a Christian was I 10 years ago as today? I'm not going to compare myself to you. Amen? I'm going to compare myself with what kind of a Christian I was 5 years ago. Or how about what kind of a Christian I was 1 year ago or 6 months ago? Am I moving forward? Am I going on for the Lord? See, I'm responsible. The longer I live and the longer I put to work what God has given me, the more I have received. And so that's my job. There is a responsibility here. I have duty. I have responsibility. Accept your responsibility. And then, secondly, realize that you're accountable for that. No question about that. We've seen that already. To whom much is given, much is required. How are you doing? Don't compare. You say, well, listen to Brother Colton play the piano and sing. I mean, he's got talent. I can't do that. God has given you something you can do. God has given you an ability. When you become a Christian, God gives you something to work with. God gives you a talent. God gives you an ability. It's amazing. I've been around church pretty well all my life, and it's amazing to see people come in, get saved, and all of a sudden you see, teacher, preacher, musician, given to hospitality. Just amazing what God can do. That's what God does for the believer. So much has been given to you. Doesn't matter what has been given to somebody else. Don't compare yourself, but realize you're accountable for what you have been given. Young or old, rich or poor, weak or strong, the Lord's not going to say, oh, well, you know what? I've given you some talents and some abilities, but you've had a really rough go of it for the last 4 years. So it's okay. I can accept a snowflake. No, God's not going to settle for that. God has, everybody in this room that's a believer, God has given you much. Hey, God's given you much more than you had before you got saved. Hallelujah for that. You got salvation. You got eternal life. You got the Holy Spirit that lives within. You got God as your heavenly Father. You got Christ as your Savior. And you got a home in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. That's wonderful right there. You've been blessed beyond measure. I've been blessed beyond measure. But what happens is we get our eyes on the world. And we get our eyes on the things of the world. Now, everyone has a desire to have, I have a desire to have a Lamborghini. What's wrong with that? You're laughing. But until recently, Jackson would know this, I drove a smart car that's really not very smart. I mean, it's like a sardine can, right? All I'm saying is, give it up. Now, listen to this. I'm just about finished here. Everybody, listen to this. Everybody in this room, youngest to the oldest, everyone in this room will one day have a one-on-one with the Lord of the harvest. Every one of us. Rich, poor, weak, strong, old, young, whatever nationality, doesn't matter. Every one of us, believer and non-believer, everyone will have a one-on-one. You can't call your lawyer in to dispute for you. It doesn't work. You can't, can I say this? You can't call your mother in. He was a good boy. That won't fly. I'm sorry. So the Bible says that one day for believers, we'll all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what we've done, exactly what I'm talking about, what we've done as stewards will be what we're judged on. We don't get a chance to speak back. But Lord, no, He does the talking. And the Bible also says for the unbeliever, the non-believer, can I say, that the great white throne judgment, you will appear. And you will give account for what you did not do. Then, frankly, to be honest, according to the Word of God, it's too late. I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel who stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. And oh, what a weeping and wailing. As the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayers were too late. The rich man was there with his money. It melted and vanished away. And so you, maybe some of you know that song. But the truth is, then it's too late. So right now, you have much. You have much because you still, this day, on the third day of May 2026, you still have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not done that. If you've done that, then you have everything that you need to serve the Lord while He tarries His coming. Plain and simple. That's a good steward right there. Everyone in this room, everyone, will have a one-on-one with God. Isn't it going to be interesting when the screen drops and your life is shown before you and before God? I don't know. I don't want anybody to be there. I want the lights to go out. I want the power to fail. It's not going to happen because this is God's show. It's Him. So understand that I have a responsibility. And then to be reliable. I think to be reliable is so important. You see, God is depending on you. And can I say this? At Anchor Baptist Church in Burnaby, British Columbia, again on the third day of May 2026, I don't say this to be unkind, but you're all that God has here. Amen? You're the ones. God has you. God has placed you in this assembly, the Anchor Baptist Church, to do his bidding, to serve him, to be a testimony, to be a blessing to others around about you. Stand in your place. Be a good steward. Such a simple thought. But young people, I want to encourage you, and I hope older folks do too, continue to encourage you. Give your life to God. You'll never regret it. You never will. Serve the Lord with passion. Serve the Lord with emotion. Serve the Lord with love. You know, Satan will do anything in his power to stop you. But my Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the victory is won in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to read a portion of Scripture? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the story of the gospel there, that tells you that he has the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And you can serve him victorious, and you labor not in vain. Everything you do for the cause of Christ means something. I'll never forget, I have a friend whose father left their home when he was 4 years of age. There were six children in the home. My friend was the youngest one. And the father left and left, abandoned the family. And it was a struggle for a period of time, but this relates to me in my period of life right now. The grandparents, who were godly parents, stepped in and helped to raise those children. In that family today, two preachers from the family, now grandchildren come along, two preachers serving God, and one in the mission field. Just because somebody stepped in with what God had given them and they said, Lord, I know what's required of me, I'll give. Basically, life changes. And it can happen for you and I. Life changes when we give our all to God and say, Lord, whatever you've given me, I know it's required for me to do this, to go there, to do that, whatever the Lord leads you to do. So understand this morning, to be reliable to the Lord. Realize you're accountable. Accept your responsibility. Nothing you have is yours. That's a tough one right there. That vehicle I'm driving out in the parking lot today, it's got my name on the ownership. Really doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't. No, my name's there for legal purposes, I guess, but it all belongs to God. So understand, all of us have been given much. What are you doing? This is a big question. What are you doing with what God has given to you as a believer? Now, what are you doing with what you've heard this morning about your eternal destiny? That's up to you. Let's have a word of prayer.